coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. Monday, tax day, April 17th, 2023. To those people who haven't filed their taxes yet, Eric Tech, have you filed your taxes?
I did.
All right. Just
but I don't owe anything, so.
All right. Well, you know, when you own a business, I know I got a lot of business owners and farmers listening to this broadcast, and not a fun time. Even
how
if you don't make
about
lot,
it.
I'm not like it. I picked up my taxes. Folks, look, this is all part of what we're talking about because I did pick up my taxes.
There goes your Jag.
Yeah, Jag. Yeah, the Matchbox Jaguar. Remember those? Anyway.
You got to pay for those COVID-19 billboards.
Wow. I'm telling you what, you know, it's not the money in terms of making money. It's the tax liability because the hardest hit, I really believe the hardest hit is like you and I, all right? The people who don't make a lot of money, that we're in the middle class. And believe me, I'm in the middle, way in the middle class. Not in the upper middle class, but in the middle class. I mean, like smack in the middle class, that's where I am. Now, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying the tax liability, because when I took my taxes to the accountant, because I never want to ever be wrong, you know, put the number in the wrong spot. He showed me a chart and how some of these people can get away with paying like no income tax. It's ridiculous. But anyway, so there goes another mortgage. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, tax day. That's meant to say tax day. So
yeah, we got to fund the billboards. We got to fund all these transitions.
Isn't that, you know, something? If you think about this, how much of that money is going to Ukraine? How much of that money is going to a Ukrainian border? And you've heard this talked about before. They care more about the Ukrainian border than, of course, our southern border. That's true. They care more about munitions for the Ukrainian soldiers than, you know, for our defenses. Maybe I wouldn't be that angry about things. I'm not angry. I guess I'm just upset over the fact that here we are paying taxes. That is, the money is not being used for infrastructure repair. It's not being used for our security. It's being squandered away by these politicians, in some cases, unelected people. That it's just ridiculous. And then you've got people flying around in jets like John Kerry and others.
The corrupt funding the corrupt.
Yes, yes. Very astute. And I have to ask, because a lot of people asked over the weekend and by email, how are you feeling today?
Much better.
You sound still a little nasally, but that's okay.
A little bit.
Telling you, you have kids. I remember this when my children were growing up. It's like a mucus factory. You know what I'm talking about, folks. You know, you send them to school, they come back with all these diseases and, you know, all these sicknesses, and it's like a nonstop thing. And I remember when I was 30, I think I was 32, I remember my stepson asked me, or my wife asked me, by any chance, have you had the chicken pox? And I said, oh, yeah, I had the chicken pox. Well, the reason I asked, she said, is because, you know, Josh has got the chicken pox. About 35, 40 minutes later, I started itching. I'm thinking, oh man, what's going on? And let me tell you something. At 30 some years old, when you get chicken pox, I went to the doctor and the doctor said, I got good news and I got bad news. I said, well, tell me. He said, the good news is you're not going to die. I thought, well, that's good. I said, what's the bad news? He said, the bad news is you will want to. Uh-huh. And I'll tell you something. That was like one of the worst things I've ever been through in terms of a physical issue, you know, viral chicken pox stuff. I didn't go out in public for like, you know, 3 weeks because, it was just, wow.
And you've been telling me those scars were bullet wounds.
Well, you gotta, the scars. I think I might have one or two little pock marks there, but, you have to, that's sandwiched between the bullet wounds. Okay. Anyway,
from Chicago.
By the way, did you see what happened in Chicago over this weekend? If there is any way of looking into our immediate future, all right, and I'm talking about cities,
Chicago,
Chi-Town, Chicago. Did you see what happened, folks? You see, the blue cities, and most cities are blue and will be blue. This is what you get when you have Democratic policies, leftist, not Democratic, I'm sorry, leftist policies. You have Soros-funded district attorneys. I've got a listing right here of some 29 district attorneys funded by George Soros. Rumor has it, yes. But do we know that for a fact? I don't know. I think we might have to check his...
Doesn't matter.
Does it really matter? You know, because he's got offspring.
Yep.
But here are some first-year, second-year, third-year law students just out for having a good time at spring break in Chicago. Watch this. And I'll narrate this for the radio listeners. Again, you know, you've got students, joggers, people with certainly with jobs, important jobs, I would say, in Chicago. This is downtown. This is Michigan. This might be Michigan Avenue. And I've been down there, in fact, visiting a law office down in that area. And the police are standing around doing nothing. Now, this is by design, folks. The fact that the police are not doing anything, of course. Now they seem to be escorting the Golden Girls there, but okay. And there's an ambulance there because shots were fired, but you know, only in celebration of the Dean's List. But there you have America's finest right there. And I didn't even show you the bad stuff.
The Golden Girls.
Yeah.
They're out on the town in the bars of the college kids.
I'm going to tell you the bad stuff. Stopping motorists in traffic. And we're going to be doing some. This is something that I want to kind of envelop the audience into. We're going to be doing some things to focus on your survival, on our survival. How do we get through this? Because you've got the gravity of depravity right now we're looking at. We have to address that. How do you survive this? Stay the hell out of the cities. Well, you know, that's fine for people who are not in the cities right now. But what if you are and you're stuck there? And, well, you can't be stuck in this. Nobody can make you live in this. Look, not everyone's got your money. Not everyone has got your ability to be mobile. You know, you think just because you have a vehicle, you think everyone owns a vehicle. Just because you've got a house, everyone owns a house. Maybe you're not that lucky. Who speaks for the people who don't have much? And for those people, my heart goes out. Okay. I look.
Because we're in that boat.
Yeah, you know, yes. And it's not misery loves company. No, how do we fight against this? And by the way, you know, part of that too, I watched a video clip in Chicago of a motorist being attacked by a group of these dean's list students, I'm sure, or executives. I'm kidding there for the radio listeners. You have to see the video. And dare I say, Scott Adams, yeah, 100% right. And to those saying, what did you just say? You know what I just said. And if you don't, you can search it on the internet. But the fact of the matter is, we are in a class war brought to you in part by the Soros, the Gates, the globalists of the world. They will want us. You know, this was never, and this is a good segue, this was never really an issue. You take, move the 60s. We can do shows forever about the 1960s, about the civil rights movement, about Martin Luther King, and about that whole, really it was kind of a psyop. It really was. We could do a whole series of shows on that. But here's the thing. They want class warfare. They want racial divide. I don't. I really don't. But they are training and grooming these individuals for just that. They want to make it so when you're attacked in your car, if you fight back, you're the one that's arrested. Same thing with the house. If you're attacked in your house and you shoot that person coming into your house, if you've got a Soros-appointed DA, you better pray to the God of the Bible that justice is on your side, because we don't have justice anymore, I guess, except for supernatural justice. We have a legal system in place by these leftist thugs. And again, I'll do a show on the Soros DAs. And the reason being is because this is what is shaping our society. But this is a good segue into where we were, as I started saying before, and then I got sidetracked. Before Obama came into office. Now, the Bushes, the Clintons, look, they're all a part of this as well. And when I say this, I should have like a start of disclaimers, okay, or start by disclaiming things. First of all, this country is a constitutional republic. It's not a democracy. You're going to hear democracy or in some clips I'm going to play. Forget that word. It's a constitutional republic. Second of all, there is really no left, or there's no Republican and Democrat. It's all one of the same bird, two wings, same bird. It is right versus wrong. It is evil versus good. It is what is morally and biblically and sound, principally right, correct, versus what's not. And I'm involved in some cases as well. I don't want to overstate the issue, but here, from a consulting point of view, as myself as an investigator, where I received a text from a client and a friend, and she wrote, "There is no justice anymore," I'm not going to tell you what prompted that, but I can say this. She's correct. There is no justice in the system anymore. When you have something that is totally antithetical to justice, what you think of when you see an old Perry Mason episode, or even a Matlock episode, you know, it doesn't exist anymore. The people that the globalists are going after are the truth tellers. They're the people who want to expose the secrets that they are attempting to hide. And this is all going to come together. I'm going to take you back to the 70s. I'm going to take you back to 2013. And I'm going to bring you forward during this episode here.
Yeah, the 70s.
That's right, 70s. If you can remember them. Then you didn't live it. Okay. No, I'm kidding. Okay. Don't send me emails saying, "Oh, you're not a very good Christian." No, look.
I was negative 6 years old.
You know, I got to talk to you about this because my daughter, you know, Yeah, you were negative six for the 70s. It's amazing how young you are. Or how old I am. I don't know. But that's what you were going to say, right?
I mean, I'm 37. Not a baby.
But so you don't, I mean, you did not live through, for example, the Iranian, the taking of hostages during Iran, during, you know, 1979. You didn't live through any of that. And you don't remember certain things that happened in the 80s, of course. It'd be like me with, you know, you're just coming of age, the Kennedy assassination and such, and like a lot of our demographic. So, interesting though. Interesting. And a lot of times you and I, folks, if you're listening to this, you and I, when we talk to people, sometimes we forget. We impose our own experiences, our own knowledge into the conversation, when in fact we forget that people, hey, you know what? They weren't alive then, or they don't know about this issue or that issue, which again, I'm going to hit during this broadcast. All right. I'm going to take you back to something.
You mean history books don't teach a lot of this?
No. History books teach now that America bad, the founding fathers bad. We had slaves. We abused the heck out of them. And then we have to pay them reparations. Any questions? Yeah, I didn't think so. But I'm going to take you back to something, because the core issue here of today, you heard about the Pentagon leak, right? You heard about that, and about the war in Ukraine. All of this ties together. It really does. I was amazed as I was doing going through some show prep here. I was amazed thinking back to the 70s, thinking back to the church committee, you know that. You've seen parts, I think, of the church committee. And if you haven't, and don't forget, those who have, there are people, lots of people, when you say church committee, they look at you like, what? What's that? What church? Where am I supposed to be? What committee am I on at church? Okay, so...
All rise.
Yeah. Paternoster. Yeah. Okay. By the way, Latin masses, in case you haven't been keeping up. What is that? Paternoster, quies in celis. Yeah. And the Roman Catholics, you know what I'm talking about. But the FBI and, of course, the intelligence, all 17 intelligence agencies are focusing on the target being what? The traditional Catholics, the pre-Vatican II Catholics, wanting to attend Latin masses. Oh my gosh, the radical. But all of this, again, is intertwined. And you might ask, well, that's a pretty big stretch. How in the, you know, what are you talking about? When Obama came in, he wanted to fundamentally form or fundamentally change this constitutional republic. Eric the Tech, man, you just keep up with that colorful commentary, because I like that. Now that sounds more of a mosque sounding thing.
Yeah, anyway. I was born in the '80s.
Oh my. You and I, what did Jed Clampett from the Beverly? One of these days, I'm going to have a long talk with that boy. I'm kidding. I'm going to take you back to February 7th of 2013. You can find this on HagmanPI.com. And on that day, I just came back from D.C., Washington, D.C., and I spoke with someone on the inside. I spoke with a DHS insider. And yes, I had, and to some point still have a relationship with an insider, okay, the DC insider. But the positions have changed. In other words, it's that person's no longer where he was when I had this conversation with him. But let me show you this. In fact, if you don't mind bringing this up on the screen, this from February 7th of 2013. I want to bring this up. And I had told people that this is going to be extremely important and we need to watch for this and we need to pay attention to what's going on. The title of the article, which will be in the show notes, is HagmanPI.com. That's HagmanPI.com. Two N's on Hagman. HagmanPI.com. In the show notes, expand on the title. DHS Insider, Obama's cyber warriors in preparing for a collapse. Now, I referenced this a couple of times last week, but I really wanted to show you something here. In this article, and I remember this conversation like it was yesterday. It was the 4th of February of 2013 when I had this conversation. It was in Washington, D.C. And it was in the early morning hours at a public location. And we had a conversation. Now, again, 2013. So this is 10 years and 10 years, almost about 10 years and 2 months. If you look, and I would urge you to read the entire column. But if you look at right here, about a third of the way through, my source says, 2 days after the inauguration of Barack Hussein Obama, at exactly 7 o'clock on January 23rd, something called the Cyber Warriors for Obama Project was activated. Now, this, again, the context of this and the scope of this, you have to understand, this guy is telling me what was going on within DHS and within or inside the executive branch to shape public opinion, to censor conservatives and Christian conservatives, and what was coming in the future. I reported about this on numerous platforms, from True News to Alex Jones to this was in Canada Free Press. This was, in fact, I think Steve Quayle linked to this.
Yes. Obamacare is not his legacy?
No, his legacy is the fact that he's a communist plant. That's what his legacy is, Obama. And Obama was made possible. He was a construct of the Trilateral Commission on the Council for Foreign Relations, on the Club of, or the Council or Committee of 300. I'm sorry. Council. Let me take this hot dog I have out of my mouth. Be quiet.
You said it.
I know. Seriously, that sounds good. Like a chili dog with onion. Yeah. Okay. But here's the thing. You know, the thing. Corn Pop was a bad dude. So the people around Obama, and I can kind of, I'm not going to read this, but I just want to cite from this. Obama, his team created a bunch of cyber warriors. Now, again, think of the time that this happened in 2013. Now, we're not talking, you know, at the vigorous, we're not talking 2016, 2017 with President Trump and all the censorship. We're talking 3 years plus before this. Okay. There were about 3,575 cyber assets, or what were called Obama's warriors, listed in alphabetical order in this three-ring binder that he held inside a skiff for a period of time. And these people were tasked with shaping the narrative on social media platforms, excuse me, as well as other things, including interacting with the media. All right. Now, this applied to, and still to this day, folks, please understand what I'm telling you. It applies to the non-conventional mainstream or non-conventional media, not the mainstream media, but this also applies to people who you think are truth tellers in the alternative media, but for some reason they're still on YouTube and they still have a presence in Facebook and they're still, oh, but they're saying so many. Wait a second. If you are telling the truth and the unfettered, unbridled, unvarnished truth, you would not be on those platforms because they would not let you be on those platforms. So this was the brainchild of the, yes, the Clinton, Obama, Podesta. Listen to these names. Now, I didn't put the names in the article. Valerie Jarrett, especially. But also Michael or Michelle Obama. They are all in this together. And what this is doing is they are creating this team to continually 24/7 monitor social media all across the US and worldwide to shape a certain narrative to do a couple of things. Number one, to increase the racial divide in the country. Number two, although again, this article doesn't get into it, but in hindsight and retrospect, we can see where this was going and where they took this to alert others to the presence of somebody. Hey, this guy's telling too much of the truth. So we have to muzzle this person or this platform. We have to work with, you know, Susan over at YouTube and make sure that channel is throttled. And if you don't think it's still happening today on alternative platforms, you're sadly mistaken. And it's only going to get worse. I'm going to show you how. And I'm going to show you why this is important. Stay with me now. All right. So this kind of takes you, this is more of a retrospective. I wrote this a couple of days afterwards. It's almost like a diary fashion kind of thing. This is what happened.
Diary.
Yeah, dear.
You're very sensitive.
Did you find my diary that I did. I have that little lock on it, you know? You have the key to it.
It's around got all neck. These drawings of like chili dogs and stuff. Kind of weird.
I'll tell you what, New York launcher. Yeah, never mind. It's good stuff. Not good for your heart or your. But anyway, but I the one thing I do though, I got to tell you, that is all beef hot dogs, kosher, all beef hot dogs. But you know, none of the fillers, extenders, and the nitrates, anything like that.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of red pen. That diary, a little freaky.
He's my son-in-law, right? Y'all know that, right? All right. I don't want to drag this on, except to say that back in 2013, and in fact, this was planned in 2008, but really took effect in 2013 with the rise of social media. And again, stop the truth, amplify the misinformation, disinformation, kind of like saying, we're going to have this disinformation board, you know, DHS disinformation board, but this was on the quiet.
I think it's time for somebody to write a book.
I think so.
Because I think we've reached the point.
Kind of a tell-all, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now who might you be referring to?
This, what you're talking about.
Yeah. I do have spread out, by the way, over numerous locations, notes, contemporaneous. So, and that's one thing as an investigator. And folks, look, this is important for you to know, okay? In my time as an investigator, you take contemporaneous notes can be used in court and often are used in court. And as opposed to, I don't know, what you type out on the computer. But if you've got contemporaneous handwritten notes, that's used as evidence. And I've got that spread out everywhere. So, but yes, let me know in the comments section at Rumble or Brighteon or send me an email, Doug@HagmanReport.com, what you think if all of this is worthy of a book. because there's another one. I've got my third book coming out as soon as I can get that finished in the republication of my first book, but my third book coming out with respect to the satanic ritual abuse and some true crime things that happened in this area. Although it doesn't say that, it's this area. But let me know.
I say yes.
You say yes. Well, you folks let me know. Would you buy that?
Here's how we got here.
And I think, you know what? Look, I'm going off script here. And you might think that this is a waste of time, but there's some nuggets of wisdom here, I believe. And not from me, from Eric.
A script? Did I miss something?
We have a script. Yeah. Brought to you by Pfizer. Okay. No, I can't.
And your tax dollars.
That's right. But where we are today, and you make a good point, where we are today has been planned for really since 1913 and even before that. One could argue since 1776 and around that time period. But where we are today has been expedited since 2013, especially in the social media venue. Now, I want to take you back to really quick, back to 1975, because I know most of you know this and have seen this, but think about this. This is from the church committee. I believe this, I don't actually have the source on this written down here, so we'll both be surprised. We'll all be surprised. This is video clip number one, the intelligence gathering debate. Watch this. This is about 2.5 minute runtime, but this sets the stage for further discussion on this matter. Here it is.
Well, Senator, let me follow up by asking, do you think that the CIA and military intelligence agencies and the FBI have used the emergency provisions, both in law and by emergency agency, the Federal Preparedness Agency it's called now, to have contingency plans which threaten the liberty of American citizens?
Mr. Rowan, in due course, the committee will pass judgment on those questions. I'm not going to pre-guess the committee or prematurely attempt to pass judgment on this program. But let me tell you this. In the need to develop a capacity to know what potential enemies are doing, the United States government has perfected a technological capability that enables us to monitor the messages that go through the air. These messages are between ships at sea. They could be between units, military units in the field. We have a very extensive capability of intercepting messages wherever they may be in the airwaves. Now, that is necessary and important to the United States as we look abroad at enemies or potential enemies. We must know. At the same time, that capability at any time could be turned around on the American people. And no American would have any privacy left, such as the capability to monitor everything, telephone conversations, telegrams, it doesn't matter. There would be no place to hide. If this government ever became a tyranny, if a dictator ever took charge in this country, the technological capacity that the intelligence community has given the government could enable it to impose total tyranny. And there would be no way to fight back, because the most careful effort to combine together in resistance to the government, no matter how privately it was done, is within the reach of the government to know. Such is the capability of this technology. Now, why is this investigation important? I'll tell you why. Because I don't want to see this country ever go across the bridge. I know the capacity that is there to make tyranny total in America. And we must see to it that this agency and all agencies that possess this technology operate within the law and under proper supervision so that we never cross over that abyss. That's the abyss from which there is no return.
All right. Thank you for that. That'll be in the show notes under video clip number one. That was Senator Frank Church. Now, the Church Committee hearings began in on January 27th, 1975. And that was as a consequence or in the wake of Watergate. And again, this is all important because this tells you not only where we're at, but where this is all going. All right. The alarm by people. It was like with Watergate. Holy moly, what's going on? Well, they got together this Senate committee named the Church Committee. What's going on right now? Jim Jordan and others with the House. They're having a committee about the weaponization of government, correct? You heard about that, right, Eric? I know you did. It's about the weaponization. We've talked about that. And what's that in response to? That's in response to the crackdown on conservatives, on Christians, on churches, on going after parents at school boards, going at, I mean, you name it, right? That's the same thing the Church Committee did. And isn't it interesting? A lot of, when you ask somebody perhaps that's relatively knowledgeable about that time period, what do you remember most about that? Oh, the heart attack gun. Very true. Heart attack gun. Gun that causes heart attacks. A gun that shoots pellets, a 45, the frame of a 45, that's very quiet, that shoots darts, causes people to die. Virtually undetectable. That's what most people remember, but most people don't remember why the Church Committee was formed, what caused it. And again, that was Watergate. And Watergate was not about what you think. And also, the consequence of the Church Committee, wow, well, I didn't know that there were assets in the government that were put into media. I didn't know that. Again, think of the House Committee on the Weaponization that we're seeing today. What came of the Church Committee? Now, if I had Jeopardy music, I would play it right now. Because I want to know, folks, what came, what do you think? And again, I would love to see your comments on Rumble or Brighteon. I would love to see your comments. What came of the Church Committee? In part, I'll tell you, so you don't have to wait for comments. What took Donald Trump? What was used as a weapon against President Trump and others? FISA, the FISA court. As the chief counsel of the Church Committee, a guy by the name of Frederick Schwartz said that the most fundamental lessons learned from the committee that include that when you start small, you go big. When you start in a way that seems legitimate, it inevitably goes too far. Now, in reaction to the Church Committee reports for pushing for oversight, specific oversight, Congress passed the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978, which established a secret FISA court responsible for issuing warrants for domestic wiretapping activity. The FISA court consists of seven judges appointed by the Chief Justice and who serve for 7 years each. Now, in December of 2005, the New York Times reported that President Bush had authorized the NSA to eavesdrop on American phone calls and emails without obtaining a warrant from the FISA court. Isn't that interesting? That revelation was met with a bunch of consternation. And I'm sure, I'm absolutely positive, just sternly worded letters. Now, in August of 07, and this is important, we're going to have a test on this in the end, a temporary amendment to FISA passed. It was called Protect America Act. And, you know, anything that's called, look, Protect America. No, no, it's just the opposite. But anyway, with this Protect America Act, which, as President Bush explained, modernized the FISA court by accounting for changes in technology and restoring the statute to its original focus on appropriate protections for the rights of persons in the United States. And I'll tell that to the FISA court judges who abused the crap out of it. Okay, I'm going to stop right there because this is not a history class. I'm not a history teacher, and you don't really, I mean, who cares, right? But let's move on because I started with Obama's war, truth warriors, and people laughed. And as a matter of fact, I had somebody cost me a ton of money. That's all I'm allowed to say. In fact, I'm not even sure I'm allowed to say it. It cost me a ton of money, who called me not just a liar. Well, I don't care if people call me, but that this never happened. And yeah, look, who cares? All right. Video clip two. This is important. This is a little longer, but pay very close attention to this. This is the CIA and fake news in the 80s. You saw the 70s. Now let's jump to the 80s. I promise you it's going to be worth it. Here it is. The CIA and fake news in the 80s. This is from 1986. I think it's January 24th or 14th or something like that. I wrote it down. Here it is right here. And so it's on the thing. You'll see it. Go ahead and play it.
We all know that you can't believe everything you read, but at the same time, most journalists do try their level best to get the facts straight. It requires checking, and wherever possible, a first-hand account of what's happening. But an eyewitness account is not always possible, particularly in nasty wars on the other side of the world. And so reporters sometimes have to rely on other people's accounts. The story then becomes as good as its source, and sources sometimes lie. The U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, deals in information and misinformation. Tonight we see how the CIA has been able to plant news reports that aren't just inaccurate, but totally fabricated. This is Angola, a former Portuguese colony in Southwest Africa that's been at war since the mid-70s. Its left-wing government, supported by Cuban soldiers, fights a continual battle against guerrillas backed by South Africa. 10 years ago, the Soviets helped send guns and troops here, and the United States responded with support for the guerrillas. According to newspapers at the time, that's how the Angolan War started. But did it? John Stockwell, wearing the cross, worked for the CIA for 12 years. As a colonel, his last assignment was to run the U.S. campaign in Angola.
The basic theme was to make it look like a Russian-Cuban aggression in Angola. And so any kind of story that you could write and get into the media anywhere that pushed that line, you did. One-third of my staff in this task force was covert action, was propagandists, whose professional career jobs was making up stories and finding ways to get them into the press.
In 1975, the resource-rich African country was being fought over by three factions. Agostinho Neto led the left-wing MPLA, which eventually became the government. Jonas Savimbi, an anti-Marxist, led UNITA, which was openly supported by South Africa. And another anti-communist force was led by Holden Roberto, who had been paid by the CIA for 14 years and was now to receive major U.S. support.
The CIA had just closed down three long-term paramilitary operations in Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos. They'd had over 1,000 paramilitary case officers come flocking back to Washington. They didn't have desks for everybody, much less jobs.
And just think about this in the context of Ukraine. Or if you want to go a little bit, well, at the same time, Obama had his finger in that pie, as well as the Arab Spring, the overthrows of certain governments. They don't change their playbook. All of this is important. Yes, Angola is important. Even today, given its proximity and resources and other things, but just listen to the playbook here, because this will, you'll walk away with some good nuggets. Here you go. Continue.
And morale was rock bottom low. They wanted a covert action. They wanted a paramilitary encounter. The rationale was that the Soviet Union was trying to take advantage of the United States' weakness right after the Vietnam War, that Angola was getting its independence and they were trying to snap it up, and that Henry Kissinger decided that we could not be weak and we wouldn't let them do it. Our own files disproved that. We moved into Angola first, and the Russians were responding to us.
But before the CIA could move, the U.S. National Security Council had to be sold, and Stockwell helped with the briefings.
The first briefings on Angola literally went, gentlemen, this is a map of Africa. Here is Angola. And then they went on with a chart to explain their three liberation movements in Angola. One of them is headed by Holden Roberto. He's the good guy. We've worked with him for years, and they use literally good guy. Then the MPLA is headed by this drunken, psychotic Marxist poet, Augustino Neto. He's the bad guy. And they used exactly the good, so to make sure that people understood.
Once the National Security Council had given its blessing, Stockwell and the CIA cranked up their propaganda machine. And newspapers around the world became unwitting accomplices in the campaign. From the CIA's headquarters, Stockwell sent his propagandists to Britain, Portugal, Zambia, and Zaire. Far from the battlefield in Angola, they wrote news releases for the two Western-backed factions, and these were fed into the ticker tapes of the Western media. Stockwell's CIA man also wined and dined Western journalists and gave them personal briefings.
Pause just one more
His man time. In Zambia was particularly...
Can you, now do you see when President Trump pointed out and said fake news, fake news, fake news? Do you see what he saw from his position? Your fake news. He knows, he knew at the time, he knows now, fake news. Again, same playbook, different people, different countries, different situations, but same playbook. Go ahead.
Particularly enthusiastic.
He ran a story that the city of Malanje had been captured by the UNITA forces, and in doing so, it captured 20 Russian advisors. And they thought this would show that Russians were running the thing in Angola. There weren't Russian advisors, it wasn't a factor, and we knew that.
But the story did well. The Toronto Star, like many newspapers, picked it up from Reuters news agency. It was also carried in the Montreal Gazette and in the Vancouver Sun.
I remember reporting that very clearly.
Fred Berglund was the Reuters reporter who filed the story from Zambia.
Years later, I discovered that a little CIA misinformation expert had sat in the U.S. Embassy in Lusaka and had composed that communique, and it bore absolutely no relationship at all to truth. You've got to remember, at that stage, during a war, you're working under incredible pressure. I worked for 4 months without a day off for 16 hours a day.
Eric the Tech's got some commentary. Pause that.
The spy that shagged me.
There.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. All right. All right. You get the idea. I would watch the entire clip. We can put it right there or stop it right there. But the fact that Angola.
You're going to stop it right at Austin Powers?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do that, because then he brings a cat out and it just gets ugly from there. All right. If you think about this, what the church committee did was prove that the CIA, that the entire intelligence apparatus had assets in all of the major news organizations. And what we find now, New York Times, Washington Post, and many online publications, blogs, including blogs and alternative media sites. And you know something? At some point this week, I'm going to be naming names.
Yeah, baby.
Okay. They are nothing but stenographers for the deep state. To tell you how much they don't like this exposure, they introduced, they meaning the faces of the deep state, the actors for the deep state, the elected ones for the deep state, again, left, right, it doesn't matter, want to control everything you see, read, hear, and certainly publish and broadcast. So they introduced what? They introduced something called the Restrict Act, which is the so-called anti-TikTok bill. Why? Because they've got to protect you from what? From misinformation from China. Now, there is a crap ton of that. But in a 55-page bill, not one time is TikTok mentioned. So what are they going after? This from Hagman PI. I don't know the publication. I can't remember the publication date on it. It's on there. Again, go to HagmanPI.com and open up the description box and you'll find it. The Restrict Act or TikTok bill is a Trojan horse that will increase U.S. domestic surveillance and censorship. I published this on April 3rd. Folks, this is why you've got to go to Hagman PI, bookmark their website, because I will put articles up there, but I'm going to be naming some names here. Because whether it be about the SARS-CoV-2, about the injections, whatever it might be, about Ukraine, about World War III, we're all getting lied to every single day. And we must, and even from some people you think you can trust, but you can't. And I've got the receipts to prove that. But in this particular article, I do write that Senate Bill 686, which is a Restrict Act, often cited as TikTok bill, is not what it appears to be. Instead of blocking or disrupting transactions and financial holdings linked to foreign adversaries, it appears to target the free speech of all Americans. And I show you the text, all 55 pages. It's embedded within the article. And any reasonable person would expect that legislation designed to restrict the use of a specific platform, such as this communist Chinese spying and data collection application, TikTok, we'd at least mention that once. It doesn't. And I show you there where there is an absolute zero results for the phrase or word TikTok within the text of the bill. But what this does is it grants the Director of National Intelligence now overreaching powers to take down any websites deemed to be using foreign content or software. If you merely link to Sputnik, Russian Times, or, hey, even Daily Mail, who knows, whatever is not part of this clique, this club, they are going to shut you down. Not only that, you can face prison time as well as substantial fines. And that means you and me, anyone with a platform. And there, believe it or not, there are people pushing for this. It's aimed at blocking or disrupting the truth is this is intentionally designed to target the free speech and rights of everyday Americans. And that's according to Ethan Huff Red Wave website, as I posted in there. And there are a number of so-called Republican senators that support this act, and I put them on this website. You can read them if you go, if you scroll down a little bit there, Eric, there they are. They're their names right there. Thune, Fisher, Moran, Sullivan, Collins, Thune. Of course. Thune. When you coming? I'm coming, Thune. Okay, Romney. As soon as I get my hot dog.
I'll be there soon, honey. I'll be there soon.
get my chili dog. Amen. And then, of course, Linda Graham. They all must go, I write. But they do. Okay, so what does all this mean? What am I trying to say?
The Golden Graham.
Next to the Golden Girls.
Golden Graham and soon.
All right.
And Kramer. but let's not disrespect Kramer.
Kramer. You got, I mean, Kramer's Kramer. Okay. Clip four real quick before I run out of time. I'm out of time, but Pentagon leaker, Trump lawsuit, Baldwin. This is from Viva Fry and Barnes. Good people, by the way, trying to really get to the bottom of things. Let's play just the first few minutes of this, starting at 3409. This is about the Pentagon leaker. You heard about that, of course. I'm sure you have. The 21-year-old part-time reservist arrested by this armada of federal agencies. He's sitting on his back porch reading a book. But I digress. Here it is.
Pentagon leaker. There are so many things to discuss of this subject. So for the last little while, for those who didn't know, there were these images, photographs, classified information that had been circulating the internet for a few months now. And it started, I don't think they knew originally where it came from, but it was on 4chan. And apparently this 21-year-old serviceman in the military allegedly got access to a bunch of classified documents, the bulk of which pertains to the war in Ukraine, as relates to American strategy, morale, statistics, some of which also relates to Asia, or I should say the relationship with China. That I couldn't find enough breakdown of the actual leaked materials, because all anybody wants to focus on is this guy's gaming habits, some memes that he put up a few years ago, some pro-gun thing that he has. But it's a 21-year-old serviceman who allegedly obtained this classified information and leaked it. It comes at a time, it comes at a time when the Restrict Act, that act that was intended to regulate TikTok, but made no mention of TikTok, but did talk about problematic social media content, when that debate is raging, and that was what the two and two that I didn't put together. It comes at a time now when the New York Times, in responding to this, apparently the biggest Pentagon leak papers since Edward Snowden, which was the biggest since the Pentagon Papers in Vietnam in the 70s. It's apparently some of the most devastating leaked material that has occurred in recent memory, which shows that Ukraine is not winning the war like military and media have been telling us, that although Russia might be taking 2-to-1 casualties, those are casualties they can sustain, and that Ukraine might be missing armaments, the war's not going as we have been led to believe it's been going. The New York Times, instead of addressing the substance of the leaks, delving in, seeking interviews with the leaker, basically doxed the leaker, get him arrested, and revel in the fact that they got him arrested. Fox News is talking about the leaker's gaming predilections and not the substance of the leaks. Daily Mail is, as far as I've seen, basically one of the few mainstream outlets talking about it. I guess, Robert, starting on a scale of 1 to 10 or on an order of 1 to 10, do you see the correlation to the Restrict Act movement? The substance of the leaks themselves, are they devastating? And what are we doing in terms of criminalizing leaks? What is the difference between a bona fide leaker and a criminal hacker? Or, does one imply the other, but for good purpose?
Okay, you can listen to Barnes' answer on the other side or on your own. You got the gist of the question or of the issues. This is not about the information. This is about their information. They're going to leak what they want to leak. And if you leak something that they don't want out, if certain leaks are okay, that's the point. Certain leaks are okay with us. And when we leak it, it's okay. But when you go against the narrative, of course, you're going to face the wrath of hell and their hell, not literal hell. That's the whole point of this. So right from the start, with Obama's people shaping the narrative to the committees, these well-intended supposedly committees that result in certain overreaches, we're seeing the same thing happen today. This Restrict Act is absolutely huge, kind of like the abuse of the FISA court from the Church Committee. Now we've got this Restrict Act. And the other thing too, because of this leaker, you're going to see this people doubling down on the Restrict Act. And isn't the timing very interesting? And oh yeah, it only took them, 20 minutes to find this leaker when they still haven't found the SCOTUS leaker or the J6 pipe bomber, so to speak. had a long conversation about this issue this morning in the pre-dawn telephone conversation with Steve Quayle, which I'll tell you more about tomorrow as it relates to war and genetics, the bio warfare, and so on. May God bless each and every one of you. I hope you found this well. Share this on social media. Thank you for tuning in. God bless.